Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. Another guest speaker, right? Give everybody 15 seconds to run out of here if you're not interested. You know, go ahead and, I won't take offense, but go ahead and take off if you want. No takers? All right, well, here we go then. As always, I'm very glad to be here. I'm honored to be up here in front of you guys today. I recognize that each of you takes an hour out of your week to be here, so hopefully I can help make that semi-worthwhile, but we'll see how it goes. The first service went okay. Nobody booed or threw anything at me, so there was even a teenager in the back, and I figured if a teenager likes it, then, you know, it can't be that bad, but we'll see. But today, I wanted to focus on something that I typically have problems with, and that's focusing. And here is the name of the message, Staying Focused When Polyurethane Isn't Dry. Kind of quirky, but I'm making some assumptions here. I mean, I'm assuming that everybody knows what polyurethane is. It's the shiny coat on oak or whatever trim you're finishing that makes it shiny. But I want to pantomime a little story here for you that happened to me last week. You know, whenever I get up to speak, I always pray and I ask God to help me to come up with a topic to discuss, and he definitely came through on this one. Not in the way I anticipated, but it still happened nonetheless. So here's a story. For those of you who don't know, my wife and I and two kids moved into a new house here about 6-7 months ago, and there were quite a few things that I thought needed to be remodeled. For those of you who like gold, more power to you, but it's not my thing, we had a door in our living room that was had a window in this door. It was just a closet door. Had a window in it lined with gold trim. I mean, it was retro as could be. I mean, it was a 70s type door, you know, and we've been there for 5-6 months, and all I keep doing when I'm sitting watching TV is staring at this door. You know, I'm like, I got to do something about this thing. So I get in my car, and I run over to Finley, and I walk into Menards, and I go and look at the 6-panel oak doors. Now, there's two types, one of which is finished, all done. The other is obviously unfinished. So me being the tight rear end that I am, decide that I'm going to go with the unfinished door. So $100 for unfinished, $180 for the finished. So I take this thing home and I'm thinking to myself, all right, this is going to be great. I just saved myself $80 and hallelujah, whatever. You know, I'm going downstairs and I'm going to finish this thing. And in my mind, I'm thinking, this thing's going to be done. I'll have it done in, you know, 20 minutes and hang it up and move on with life. So I spend this $100, you know, obviously the fuel to go to Finley and back. I buy about $35 worth of polyurethane, another $35 worth of stain. So I'm already pretty much at the cost of what I had originally anticipated as far as the finished door. So I go downstairs, I open these sawhorses up, I put the door down, and I put the first coat of stain on. And it looks good. Let it dry, flip it over, do the next coat. Wait about 24, 36 hours. I decide to use oil-based polyurethane, which is what we used on the floors when I finished those when we first moved in. Now, this stuff is great for floors, but it takes forever and a day to dry. But I figure I want it to look exactly the same because I'm a psycho. You know, I want it to look exactly the same, so I'm going to use this polyurethane that I had at home. So I put the first coat on, and it's thin. Looks great. Wait another 24, 36 hours, flip it over, put another coat on. Another 24, 36 hours. Now, granted, this is what I'm thinking is going to be 20 minutes, right? And I'm already on my fourth day, right? And the house reeks of polyurethane, you know, and I've ruined 3 shirts and a few kitchen towels and the whole gamut. So finally I go down and I'm like, I'm going to put this last coat on. So I turn it over again. I put the final coat on and I lay it on thick. I'm thinking this is the last time I'm doing this. So I put the coat on one side. I'm a little ADD as far as when I want to get things done. So this time I only wait 24 hours for it to dry. So I go downstairs and I feel it and feels firm. Think it's going to be all right. So I flip it over and apply the last coat on the other side. Now I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, hopefully it was firm enough when I flipped it over, but I'm not real sure. So I decide I'm going to pick this thing up. I'm going to stand it upright, stand it up against the wall so it can dry. So I go downstairs. I pick this thing up. Now mind you, the one side is completely wet. The other side is dry, right? So I get under this thing and I pick it up. Now it's 6-panel oak door, so I mean it's heavy. So I'm shuffling around in the basement, you know, trying to find a place to sit it. I'm trying to be careful because the side's completely wet. If I drop this thing, it's all over. So I start to sit it down, and it starts sliding out of my hands, you know, and I catch it, and I'm sweating, you know, and sit it down, and I stand it upright, and I just step back, and I'm like, whew, okay. Now that was one side of the bifold door. I'm like, okay, I got one down. I start walking over to get the other one, and I look through kind of the bottom side of the door to the dry side, and the light's just reflecting off of it just right. I look, and I'm like, what? I walk over where my hands were, right? Apparently it was a little soft underneath. You've all seen like a bowl of gravy after it sat around for about 3 days, you know, that top layer of ick. I'm holding this door, and apparently when it started to slide, it stuck on my hands, and it just smeared the whole top coat off, right? So it looks like just skin rolled up on this door. And I look down at it, and I'm just like, no! You know, I've spent a week, the better part of probably $600 to finish this $180 door that I could have gotten done already finished. House stinks, ruined shirts, kitchen towels, the whole gamut. At that point, I'm looking at this door, and I'm like, my life's ruined. It's over. You know, I'm so upset about this door that I can't focus on anything. I mean, I'm just so mad at myself. I'm mad at the situation. I'm mad at everything. So I'm trying to fix it, you know, and it looks terrible, and I just decide I'm going to put it up there, and I'll deal with it later. But anyway, what was my focus at that moment? You know, it made me really look at my relationship with God and say, how good is my relationship? How good is my relationship with God? At least, how much am I focusing on it? Because when something as simple as the polyurethane on a closet door drives me to break that separation with God, I mean, to me, I've got a real problem. You know, I need to be focusing a lot more on what I need to be focusing in on. So it got me thinking about things. Like I said, I pray about this stuff before I get up here and speak, and remind me never to do that again because it cost me $100 and a few shirts and frustration and a week of my time, and the house smells like polyurethane, the whole gamut. But, you know, what did I think about at that time? I was thinking about the door. I was thinking about my failure. You know, I wasn't thinking about the beautiful home I was doing it in. I wasn't thinking about the kids upstairs. I wasn't thinking about my beautiful wife up there or my job or how well things were going in my life. I was focused solely on my failure at that moment. So, what did I do? Of course, me being the idol good Christian that I am, ideal Christian that I am, I got down on my knees right then and there, and I thanked God for the disaster that had just taken place, and I skipped upstairs to enjoy life, right? I kicked things around in the basement. I think I yelled at the dog. I'm sure I yelled at the kids and the wife, you know, and it kind of took its own, things started rolling from there, obviously rolling downhill rather quickly. So here I am, 32 years old, feel like I've got almost 32. Don't rush it, but almost 32. Don't let the baldness fool you. Almost 32 years old, I feel like I have a good relationship with God. You know, I pray on a regular basis, I read, I do all that stuff that I'm supposed to be doing, for the most part. And a door getting ruined was able to sever my tie with God right then and there, just boom. You know, and here I am, I'm just thinking about me, thinking about the failure, what are people going to think when they walk in the house, they're going to see the smear, and they're going to think I'm an idiot, and no. You know, and it just rolls and rolls from there, and here I am, now my life is ruined. Because of this door. Because I wasted some money. Because I failed. Right? So what was my focus? Seriously though, what does God tell us to do in those situations? What are we to do when our own personal polyurethane isn't dry? You know, what do we do when life happens? And it will happen, I guarantee it. How do we avoid those same pitfalls that I fell into that day? You know, and as I'm reading this, you know, I'm giving this message, but I need to hear it as much as anybody in here. Matter of fact, typically whatever I speak about is the thing that I'm struggling with. So make no mistake, I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm trying to learn from my notes. But in any business, and I'm in business, I try to look at things in a very detailed way. You know, what are the steps that I need to take in order to make things happen? And in any business, there are 8 main points of changing your focus. If you try to apply this into your personal life, I think it'll do you well, and it has for me. It made me think about things a little more realistically, because when I am so identified with the problem, I can't think rationally. It's all emotion. So if we look at this thing from a business perspective, let's really look at what we need to do to change our focus from focusing on the problems that happen every day to focusing on God. Okay? So number one and most important, nothing else can happen without this. Is make a decision. If you don't decide to change, you're not gonna. definition of insanity is doing the same things over and over, but expecting different results. Now, you know, I ask myself this, and I ask you, do you do that? You know, and I think everybody around here says, no, of course I don't do that. It doesn't make any sense. You know, why would I do the same things over and over and expect different results? But I ask you, do you? I know I do. I do it every day. I go to work the same. I act the same way. I think the same way. And then I look around and I wonder why things aren't changing. Well, the reason they're not changing is because I haven't changed. You know, it's really simple, but it takes effort. So, number two, well-defined goals. What do you want to accomplish? What are your goals in this situation? What do you want? Do you want more peace of mind? Do you want less stress? Do you want a better relationship with God? Do you want to speak with God almost subconsciously because He's a part of you? What do you want to do? What are your goals? You need to have that written down, and you need to know what your goal is with this situation. Number three, take small bites. This is one that I have trouble with, right? If you're anything like me, you want to grab the whole cookie and just jam it in your mouth and move on to the next thing. You know, but you have to take small bites. You're not going to change the world overnight. You're not going to change your personality overnight. You've got years and years of doing the same thing over and over. It's going to take some time and it's going to take some effort to get that focus onto something else. And it's especially hard when life happens. It's easy sitting in church listening to me, or it's easy me giving the message to you saying, it's second nature to me to focus on God. It just happens. You know, I don't even have to think about it, of course. But when that thing happens, when that little thing happens, and it's not typically the big things. You know, the big things you're staying conscientious of. You're always thinking about those things, thinking, wow, this is a big thing. I need to stay focused on God, because if I don't, I'm going to lose my mind. But it's those little things. Your kids spill grape juice on the carpet. The yard needs mowed and it's raining. You know, you name it. Your car breaks down. Whatever it is. Those things that you aren't prepared for that just sneak up on you. And before you know it, you've got a week invested in worrying about this problem and thinking about how bad your life is and how much there is to do, and you don't have time for it. Well, I tell you what, if you don't have time to think properly, you're not going to have time for God. It's just the way that it works. Whatever you occupy your mind with is going to be your God at that moment. Number four, track your progress. Seems kind of elementary, but I did this for a day or two, and it really amazed me. Tracking my progress, writing down the things that really upset me. Right? I didn't go into detail as far as what upset me, but I just had a piece of paper, and I had it in my pocket, and I put a tick mark on this piece of paper whenever anything made me mad. I used college ruled paper, by the way. And this thing was full by the end of the day, right? You know, I'm hungry. I had to go to work. I think I'm going to have to mow tonight. You know, I mean, on and on and on and on and on and on. So at the end of the day, this thing is full. But I mean, that's what you really need to realize, how much your circumstances plays on your emotions, how much your circumstances determine how you interact with people and how your relationship with God is. Because if you don't know, you won't change it. So do that one day. Really write it down, and you will be amazed at how much stuff really makes you mad. So, all right, count the number of items then, and compare it next day to next day. When you're tracking your progress and you're focused on that, or you're at least semi-focused on making marks, you're going to be thinking about it, and you'll get better just inherently. So, number five, remove distractions. Remove distractions. If you have anything in your life that is constantly taking your focus away from God, you need to remove it. Get it out. You know, there are a lot of things that creep up on us that we really don't think about. Some of the things aren't bad for us on the surface level. You know, you look at sports, you look at work, you look at all those things that we enjoy doing. But I can guarantee you, if they're getting in the way of your relationship with God, they aren't good for you. You know, anything in excess is not good. The only thing that you can be excessive about and will in the end be good for you is your relationship with God. Anything else in your life that you do in excess is not good for you. So, remove distractions. And we all know what they are, you know, so think about that on your own, but remove those distractions that are hindering you from getting closer to God. Number six, take time for yourself. Relax. Pray. Sit around. You know, watch a movie. Watch TV. Just kick back. I've never done it, but I hear it's nice. You know, it's not typically something that I do, and my wife's here, and I feel like a hypocrite standing up here giving this message, but lo and behold, it's It's the things that I need to be working on, and that's why I'm here. So take time to relax. Just sit back. Enjoy life. Enjoy where you're at. Enjoy the fact that you can have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. You know, I don't think that we always remember what that means or how much of an impact that can have on our lives. That is our life. You know, that's what we're here for. And instead, we run around and mow the lawn and wash the car and go to work and do this and changing the kids' diapers. And, you know, all that stuff is important in moderation. But if that stuff gets to be in excess and it takes your focus from God, it is not a good thing for you. Okay? Number 7, reward yourself. Reward yourself. The way our pleasure receptors work in our brain is if we get rewarded for something, we're going to have a tendency to do it again. It's just the way that it works. It's in our subconscious mind. It's how we were made. When you see your results, when you track, you know, the things that really get you upset and you see those things diminish and you're conscious of it, reward yourself. You know, go buy yourself a nice outfit. Go to dinner. Go to a movie, whatever. And, you know, if you're anything like us, I mean, we go to dinner all the time. So, it's, you know, I'm like, well, it's not really rewarding myself. I mean, we would have done it anyway. But do it with the mindset that that is why you're doing it. I'm going to dinner tonight with my spouse and my kids because of the efforts that I put into being closer to God. Reward yourself. Keep that momentum going. And number 8, last but definitely not least, is get support. Get your spouse involved. Get your coworkers involved. Get your friends involved. Get the church involved. That's what it's here for. You know, now, if you're anything like me, you come in on Sunday, you do your thing, and you know, you kind of forget about church the rest of the week. And that's not good for our support system. Everybody here, myself, my family, everybody here is here to support our goals and our Christian walk together. And we need to use that. Accountability will get you results when you don't want to put any effort into it. You know, when you're accountable for what you're trying to accomplish and other people are holding you accountable for those things, you will get more results. So have the people around you that you love and that care about you hold you accountable. They'll help cheer you on when you're not having a good day, and they'll help steer you back on track when you're off. So get support. So of course, you know me, I follow these 8 steps ritualistically every day. It's just what I do, right? It's like ingrained in my brain, and it's just something that I do. No, I mean, I like to take all my problems, you know, I take them off my shoulder, and I throw them in this pit. And I grab a hose and put some water on them, and I just dive in. Right, and I just roll around in it for 3-4 days. Woe is me, you know, why is this happening to me? Why aren't things changing? Oh my gosh, I can't believe our yard is this big. God forbid. I got to mow it, you know, we have a, you know, I mean, it goes on and on. I take anything that is in reality a good thing in my life and I turn it into something bad, and that's because my mindset is focusing on my problems. You know, if you worry about problems, you're going to have problems. If you worry about money, you're going to have money problems. If you worry about relationships, you're going to have relationship problems. You need to let go and let God. I mean, that's the basis of this whole thing. But as we do that, as I'm rolling around in this mud pit of my problems, I look around and I wonder why things haven't changed. You know, why do these little things still bother me so much? I'm 32 years old. I'm more mature than this. I need to be further along in my walk. And And we beat ourselves up about it. Why can't we seem to get ahead? Why is everything going wrong? Why can't I be happy? I was reading something the other week, and it struck me, and it kind of gives an overview of the relationship God has given us with our ability to choose. And it simply was this: though God yearns to help, God wants to help us in everything that we do, though He yearns to help, He will not violate your freedom. He won't do it. He will not violate your freedom to choose to be miserable. It's the way it works. So here I am. I'm sitting at the desk at home, and I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do, or I'm sitting on the couch, or you guys are at work, whatever, and you're sitting there stewing about your problems. I mean, picture this, and this is real. Jesus standing right behind you, right? He's watching you. He's looking at his watch, tapping his foot, like, all you have to do is ask. I'm right here. You know, come on, I can do this. You know, I'm ready to go. And you're just sitting there, just rolling around in it. And He's behind you the whole time saying, all you have to do is ask. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. I took care of all that. Just ask me, and I'll make it better. The problem may not go away, but I guarantee you it will be better because you'll be dealing with it with God. God. I mean, who else you need, right? So he simply stands in the background, waiting for you to remember that he's there. Just stands there. He will not violate your freedom. He's not going to grab you and shake you and say, listen, turn around, you know, I'm right here. He's going to let you sit there and stew in it. If that's what you want to do, that's up to you. But it's your choice. Joyce Meyer said something, and I'm not a huge Joyce Meyer viewer. I accidentally DVR'd it instead of whatever else I was going to be watching that night. So I did see it. I sat down and I watched it and realized I start watching it with her, or I start watching the program with her. I mean, she's a pretty good speaker. You know, anyway, that's what the 10,000 people thought, you know, around her. But anyway, I'm sitting here watching this program, and I can't even remember what the overview of the program was about. But she said something, and it struck me because she looked at the camera and she said, okay, everybody paying attention, everybody at home paying attention. She looked right at the camera and it kind of got in close to her and she said, if you're not happy, I'm thinking, yes. She says, if you're not happy, then do something about it. I'm like, easy for you to say. You got 10,000, you know. Do something about it. If you're not happy, do something about it. I mean, it seems very simple. It's very elementary. But it's something that we forget all the time. We are not at the whim of circumstances. How we feel is directly proportionate to our perspective on things. If our perspective is off, you're going to be off. If our perspective is on, you're going to be on. That's the way it works. So, if you're not happy, do something about it. Matthew 6:24 reads, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So take money out of it. You cannot serve God and what? You fill in the blanks. We each have our own thing. You cannot serve God and your ego. You can't serve God and your expectations. You can't serve God and other people's expectations. I mean, you fill in the blank. We all have our own thing, but you cannot serve God and what? And we need to remember that as we go out, you know, through the week and we deal with things and life happens. We need to remember that we can only serve. There's only one thing that can be the master of our lives. But we choose what that is. Make sure that it's God. Whatever occupies your mind at that time becomes your God. You know, I didn't think about this, but as I was writing this, I thought about it because I was worrying about the sermon, you know, and how bad I was going to be. And, you know, so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, worrying. Worrying can be an idol, right? I mean, whenever we hear idol, we think of the golden calf, we think of Muhammad, Buddha, whatever, you know, the pharaohs, Egypt, you know, those are the things we think of as idols. But what else in our lives are idols? What other things are idols? Worrying can be an idol. If you are sitting around focused on all your problems and worrying about things, that is your God at that moment. That is controlling your life. That is who you are serving. You are serving your worries. You are serving your problems. When you focus on God, everything starts to fall back into place. Everything becomes clear. Everything makes sense, for the most part. You know, there are a lot of things that we'll never understand fully, but we just have to have faith that it's going to work out. But those problems, those things, your thought pattern can be your idol. Don't let it get a hold of you. But we've been gifted with this amazing freedom, and that includes choosing the focal point of our minds. We've been given this freedom. Only we have been granted this ability. I mean, God made us in His image. We can choose what we focus on. Make sure that we choose the right things. You know, and you're going to get frustrated. Not everything is going to work out according to your plan. But we can take solace in knowing that it always works out according to His plan. Always. Our plans will fail. We'll make plans. They won't pan out. We'll go on vacation and have the expectation that it's going to be perfect and the kids get sick, you know, or have an expectation that I'm going to start this project and it's just going to flow beautifully and everything just falls apart. Our plans fail, but God's doesn't, and that's what we need to be focused on. Make sure that you are staying on track with His plan for you. Focus on knowing Him and seeing His plan for you in each activity that you do throughout the day, and you will be absolutely amazed at how much meaning your life will have. Guard your thoughts. Those are the things that manifest into your reality. Whatever you focus on at any given time becomes your truth. whether it's good or it's bad. So make sure that you're focusing on God. I know that's what I have to work on every day, and it's tough. I mean, we're constantly getting bombarded with this stuff. You know, lightning speed internet, make the deal, close the deal, ship it out. You know, it's just, it's the world we live in, and it is very hard. You know, a lot of times stepping back and just taking time to think and pray seems like laziness or inactivity. And I was reading a book the other day, and it said, you can be in a room by yourself praying to God and do more for the entire world than anyone else has ever done for it. Because when you use the power of God in your life, you can change the world. I mean, it's pretty amazing. But make sure that your faith is always an inspiration. I know mine's not, so make sure yours is, right? No, make sure your faith is always an inspiration. How can we inspire when we're angry, or when we're frustrated, or when we're overwhelmed, or when we're worried? We can't. We turn people off to us. Make sure that your faith draws people in. That is our job. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Well, bring the band up here shortly. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. James 1, 2 through 5 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work in you so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So thanks again for spending part of your weekend with me here. When you remember God, the circumstances may not have changed, but they change a lot because you're dealing with God now. You know, the compulsion to fix everything turns into this business relationship with God, and together you guys can deal with anything. One of the last things Jesus said before he went to heaven was, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. I think most of us accept this as truth, but we forget about it in our day-to-day lives. Remember that he is with you always. You just need to ask for his help. When God is the focal point of your life, all the pieces fall together. And when you remember that he's with you, it makes every single moment of your life meaningful. So have a great week. Thanks.